Brothers and sisters, I may this afternoon proclaim to the word of our God as we read it from the Gospel according to Luke. I'd like to ask your attention in particular for chapter 24, verse 50. The first part of the verse is the window that I want to use this afternoon to open up with you the word of our God concerning Jesus' ascension into heaven. The first part of verse 50, where we read that he led them out as far as Bethany. The ascension of our Lord into heaven typically has us think about the benefits that come to us from Jesus' ascension. So, for example, because he's now enthroned in heaven, we see him as King of Canada, sovereign of this world, with all things under his control, and we take great comfort in that glorious gospel. Indeed, let's never, ever forget that perspective. Similarly, Jesus being in heaven as the high priest, we understand he intercedes for us. And that gives us encouragement to pray boldly, to tell our God of what is on our hearts. They gain a perspective we so need and may never forget. What's striking is that the evangelist Luke, as he mentions the ascension of our Lord, does not lay a finger on either of these two, but lays his finger on something else, one that we don't often speak about. And that is that Jesus' ascension is in fact the climax of a long journey that began already back in Galilee. The journey of our Lord, it climaxed in his ascension into heaven, is itself a model for the Christian's journey. We too undertake a long journey that climaxes in our ascension to the Lord. And that's why this afternoon I summarized the sermon with this theme: the Christian follows Jesus' journey to glory. In developing that theme, I ask your attention for 3 points. The first is, why did Jesus ascend from Bethany? The second, what encouragement does that give to the Christian? And in third place, how do we work with this? To the first question we need to ask, why did Jesus ascend from Bethany? Chapter 24 pictures Jesus and his disciples in Jerusalem. And then comes our text, he led them out of Jerusalem. He led them out as far as Bethany. Bethany is a small village on the yonder flank of the Mount of Olives. You've got the city of Jerusalem. As they would walk, they'd have to climb to the top of the Mount of Olives. Then just on the other side, you can see the road snaking all the way down to Jericho, way in this distance below sea level. But just beyond the peak of the mountain is the village of Bethany. As Acts 1 has it, about a 3-kilometer journey, Sabbath day's journey, from the city to Bethany. Luke tells us that that's where Jesus took his disciples, and from there he ascended into heaven, from Bethany. So there's your question. Why from there? What makes the matter the more intriguing is that Luke writes this material for Theophilus. According to chapter 1, verse 3, Theophilus was likely an official engaged somewhere in the Roman government. He certainly was not a Jew, nor was he familiar with the geography of the land of Israel. Well, if he doesn't know the geography, why is he told that Jesus' ascension took place in Bethany? To answer the question, I need to lay out for you two bits of information that Theophilus would have had by the time he finished reading Luke and got to chapter 24 and the account of Jesus' ascension. We have those same two bits of information. They come from chapter 9 and chapter 19. As I mentioned, verse 50 of Luke 24 is not the first time that Luke mentions Jesus' ascension. He mentioned it first in chapter 9. Verse 51, Jesus is in Galilee. And we read, when the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. To be taken up, in that very word, gets used in the Gospel of Acts to describe Jesus' ascension into heaven. There is, of course, a context in Luke 9. If you look with me to the verses earlier in the chapter, I could not read the whole chapter with you, but there is material here that we need to take into account. Chapter 9, verse 28 and following, tells us about Jesus being on the Mount of Transfiguration together with three disciples. And Elijah and Moses come to him, as of course does God. But it's now particularly Elijah we needed to pay attention to, for Elijah, you know him from what's recorded in 2 Kings. Chapter 2, how it is that Elijah was taken up, same word, was taken up in a chariot of fire to heaven. He ascended. And now Jesus says in verse 51 that he's going to be taken up. He's describing himself as the second Elijah. What happened to the first Elijah? There's going to be repetition in the second Elijah. But notice, too, how verse 51 is formulated. When the days drew near for him to be taken up. The days drew near. What Luke is doing, brothers and sisters, is saying that Jesus' ascension is a process. It takes a number of days. In other words, what we read in chapter 24 about Jesus actually going up into heaven, what we call his ascension, is the climax, is the culmination of a process. And we talk the same way. If you need to attend a wedding, let's say in British Columbia, how do we talk about that? Well, yeah, we have to go to a wedding. Okay, and then somewhere along the line, you make your preparations. There's that process of getting your tickets together, or packing your bag, or getting your clothes, and so on. And the wedding itself is in the culmination of the process. And you talk about it to somebody else, and you say, well, the wedding day is getting close by. It's near. It's the same concept. The wedding itself is the climax. And so too Jesus. His ascension is approaching. And so in chapter 9, he begins to head out to the location where the ascension is to take place. Jerusalem, says chapter 9, verse 51. We'll come back to that. And as you read through the rest of the Gospel of Luke from chapter 9 following, as Theophilus has done, you can follow Jesus' journey from Galilee, sort of south down the Jordan Valley to Jericho, and from Jericho up a long climb, ascend over the Mount of Olives to Jerusalem. So that's the one point that Theophilus has in mind as he reads chapter 24. The second relates to the fact that the ascension, in fact, did not happen in Jerusalem, but in Bethany. That village is outside Jerusalem. And again, it's how we talk. If you're in Ontario and you have a wedding to attend in BC, say in Vancouver, that's what you say. We've got a wedding in Vancouver. And for the folk in Ontario, that's good enough. But once you get to Vancouver to go to the wedding itself, now you've got to go to the exact suburb where the wedding is. And you say it's in Coquitlam. And the folk in Ontario have got a clue where that is. The suburb of Vancouver, fine. But that's the same for the people in Galilee. Where's Bethany? I don't know. Jerusalem, yeah, they know where that is. But the little village outside Jerusalem doesn't register. Well, that's what's happening here too. But Luke wants Theophilus to know, in point of fact, Jesus' ascension happened in Bethany. So what is it that that Theophilus knows about Bethany? Well, as Theophilus has been reading the gospel according to Luke, he came to chapter 19. The only other time Bethany is mentioned in Luke. It's the accounts of the so-called triumphal entry. And you know the events there, how it is that Jesus is coming to the village of Bethphage and he says to his disciples, go to the next village. And when you enter that, you're going to see a colt tied, take it, release it. If they ask what for, you say, the Lord has need of him, you bring it to me. And that's what happened. They brought Jesus this colt. They put the cloaks on it and put Jesus on it. And they started to the top of the mountain and then the descent into the city. And as they go down that hill, says Luke 19, verse 29, no, it's a bit later. As they go down that hill, verse 37, they're on the way down. The whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God. And they pick up words from Psalm 118. We'll sing that shortly ourselves. But the whole notion of the Lord is our strength and our song. He's become our salvation. That notion of open to me the gates of righteousness. Jerusalem, open your gates and let this Savior come in. It's what's summarized in the cry of the disciples. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven, glory in the highest. Here's exuberance on the part of the disciples. That's the 11 and those who are with them. Or the 12 in those days yet. The whole thing's so exciting. And the purpose of their exuberance, of their loud cries, was to excite the people of Jerusalem to join them in welcoming their king. But it wasn't successful. And truth be told, brothers and sisters, I think we can understand why that effort wasn't so successful. Just try to picture it. Jesus is meant to be a king. Yeah? Well, at a minimum, you put a king on a horse, not a donkey. On a stallion. Something that looks majestic, kingly. And Jesus is sitting on a colt. I mean, just picture it. Jesus' toes are scraping the ground. Where's the royalty? Where's the majesty in that? The whole thing looks like a farce. And we can so understand the Pharisee in the crowd saying to him, "Oh, teacher, rebuke your disciples. I mean, this is a joke." That's how Theophilus is going to read Luke 19. He doesn't have Matthew, Mark, and John. Bethany represents failure. Bethany, that's where Jesus' week of suffering begins. Very soon, the people of Jerusalem are crying out to crucify, crucify him. The very disciples who are now singing his praises end up scattering. And Jesus himself is condemned to carry his own cross through the city to Golgotha. There he's crucified. Bethany symbolizes that long journey that Jesus began in Galilee, the journey to his ascension, ends up in failure. Bethany, Jesus' ascension's aborted. The best Jesus can do is climb the long road from Jericho to the top of the hill. And as the children's ditty has it, there's where Jack fell down and broke his crown. He's crucified. And it says on top of his head on the cross, "Jesus, King of the Jews." Joke. And the disciples came tumbling after, scattered. See, that's Bethany. Failure. Theophilus reads chapter 19, keeps on reading, and comes to our text in 24:50. And reads that the resurrected Jesus led his disciples out as far as Bethany. To the place of his failure. Bethany, where his ascension plans, the journey begun in chapter 9 in Galilee, fell flat. Where his kingship was rejected. And there, Jesus stretched out his hands and he begins to rise. Ascends into heaven. Stretched out his hands and utters that declaration of the priests, "The Lord blesses you and keeps you, makes his face to shine upon you and is gracious to you, turns his face towards you and gives you peace." The same words Theophilus read Jesus speaking to his disciples earlier in the chapter. We heard it this morning. So what's Theophilus' understanding? The same Bethany that looked like a failure, Jesus returns to that same place to demonstrate his victory. Here's the climax. of his ascension journey. He can come back to Bethany, the place of rejection, exactly because Jesus has been through the valley of Calvary. And the whole thing spells out, glory occurs through suffering. And that brings us to our second point. What encouragement does that give Theophilus? Well, let's go back to chapter 9. For you will have noticed chapter 9:51, Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem. But he wasn't the only one doing the journey. Verse 52, he sent messengers ahead of them, those who accompany him. As a matter of fact, 57, as they, plural, they, were going along the road, someone said to him, I'll follow you wherever you go. Now that's an interesting statement, because he'd heard Jesus' intention back in 51. He's the second Elijah. Ascend into heaven, I'll follow you wherever you go. Wouldn't it be nice to witness Jesus ascend as Elijah went? Or maybe even accompany Jesus into heaven. I'll follow you, Lord, wherever you go. And what's striking is Jesus' response. You're going to follow? Verse 58, well, foxes have holes and birds, the air have nests. But the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He may be journeying from Galilee to the ascension to heaven, but along the route he has no place to call home. You want to follow me? Are you okay with that? Having no place to lay your head? As a matter of fact, earlier in the chapter, it's verse 23, chapter 9, verse 23, and Jesus had said to all, if anyone would come after me, follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. The disciples knew very, very well what this taking up one's cross was. They'd seen it often enough. Take up your cross means that you're a condemned man and you have to carry your own cross to your crucifixion. Do you want to follow me? You got to take up your cross. Now we understand what Jesus means here. This is part of Jesus' own journey to heaven. It's back in chapter 9, verse 22. I mentioned it this morning. He's going to be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed. Jesus crucified. You would follow. You've got to be ready for the same kind of treatment. So that becomes the question. Theophilus is reading through chapter 9. And the challenge to Theophilus is, are you ready to be crucified? Are you okay with having no place to call home anymore? Are you okay with being made a fool of? Are you okay to come with me to Bethany to be made a joke? adoration as if you're a king. And soon enough, crucified. Do good with that, Theophilus. See, that's the question. And brothers and sisters, this is not theory, not for Theophilus, nor for you and me. Theophilus is going to read not just the gospel according to Luke, but Luke writes him a second book, and that's the Acts of the Apostles. In the book of Acts, you read it again for a moment of Paul and Barnabas coming to the town of Lystra. And there they preach the gospel, and the people of Lystra are so taken with Paul and Barnabas that they call them gods. They say the one is Zeus and the other is Hermes, and they're going to make sacrifices to these gods, to Paul and to Barnabas. I mean, talk about being adulated and adored. And a few verses later, we read that the population of town went to stone them. See, how are the mighty fallen? It's Bethany. All over again in the lives of Jesus' followers. And then when Paul came back to Lystra a couple of verses later, he actually said to the people, through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. Acts 14:22. Through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. Where does the apostle get that from? Well, brothers, sisters, that's the example, the significance of Bethany. And so it becomes the question for you. Are you okay with this? Are you okay to follow a Jesus to Bethany and the Bethany experience? The shame, the embarrassment, the failure of it. Please remember what Jesus said to his disciples on another occasion, that if this is what they did to me, this is what they'll also do to you. If they've rejected me, they will reject you. If they make a fool of me, they'll make a fool of you. In fact, as the Apostle Paul wrote, anyone who would live a godly life in this world will suffer tribulation. 2 Timothy 3. You see, my brothers, my sisters, that's the promise of Bethany. Rejection. But through Bethany, rejection, shame, to glory. That's the promise of Bethany. Suffering, shame, embarrassment, tribulation is not the end. Suffering brings you full circle to the crown. Jesus went to Bethany for his ascension. There, in that place of shame, of failure, he stretched out his hands to bless his disciples. And that blessing was not an empty gesture. Priest had gone through the suffering of the cross to fulfill all that the temple of the Old Testament was about. And so he could with authority lay God's declaration of blessing upon his disciples. And he himself ascend into heaven, there to be welcomed, received with honor into the glory that was His, there to be crowned king, yes, and high priest who intercedes for His children on earth. And so our third point, how do we work with this? Ascension. Jesus in Bethany blesses His disciples and begins to rise, and He disappears. Acts 1 tells us a cloud took Him out of the disciples' sight. But Peter, James, and Thaddeus, and Bartholomew, and the rest, they are left with their feet planted firmly on the ground of planet Earth. Whilst Jesus departs to glory, for them, suffering, shame, tribulation remains. And what's the promise that they have? Well, it's this, my brothers, my sisters. They followed Jesus from Galilee through the up and the down of Bethany and saw His ascension. But they will follow. That's what the Apostle Paul writes about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The day is coming, says the Apostle, verse 16, that the Lord Himself, He who ascended, will descend again from heaven with a cry of command, the sound of an archangel, the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. There's the resurrection of the deceased saints. And then He says, verse 17, we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with the raised saints, caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Brothers, sisters, what's He describing? Well, He's describing your ascension into heaven. As Jesus went up, so on the last day will the saints of God ascend. No, not all the way to heaven, for heaven's going to come down to earth. But we will meet the Lord in the air, says the apostle. That's the promise that each one of us may hold onto in the Bethanies of our life through suffering to glory, as happened with Jesus. The apostle details some of this material a bit farther in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 14, he talks about Jesus' resurrection, and then makes this promise that the Jesus who was raised will bring us with you, he says, into His presence. Us is Paul and those with him. You is the Corinthian congregation. And so we can include you and me today. Says the apostle, Christ will bring us all together into His presence. Well, there's your ascension. We follow Jesus to glory. But the road has so many Bethanies in it. Given that that's the climax, ascension, says the apostle, we do not lose heart. though our outward self is wasting away, there's the brokenness, there's the Bethanies of this life. Our inner self is being renewed day by day. This light momentary affliction, the Bethanies, the humiliations, the sufferings we experience, is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to things that are seen, but to things that are unseen. Christ ascended. Bethany, the place of embarrassment, the place of honor. And so for you and for me, my brothers, my sisters, in all the afflictions of this life, that suffering, those afflictions, is not the last word. No more than Luke 19, the so-called triumphal entry, was the last time Luke mentions Bethany. There's the ascension for Jesus, for you, for me, through suffering to glory. And so, in the midst of all the disappointments and the frustrations and the embarrassments and the weaknesses and the attacks we experience, we are of good cheer and confident. We believe what happened to Jesus, ascension, shall happen to us. Bethany, suffering to glory. Amen.